Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so excited to have you with me on today, and I bring you greetings and excitement that the goodness of the Lord that maketh us rich and add no sorrow. And so I'm so excited that you're here with me on today, and I have another wonderful lesson for us on today. So I want you to grab your Bible, come right on in, and make yourself right at home as we begin to look at the scriptures on today, talking about the God of provision is our lesson for today, and we're going to be looking at from Mark chapter number 6, verses 35 through verse number 44. Again, that is going to come from the book of Mark, chapter number 6, verse 35 through verse number 44. And so as you gathering and getting your Bible together, we're going to go ahead and pray and get right into our lesson on today. Gracious Father, we come humbly, but yet boldly unto your throne of God, grace, asking, dear God, that you will bless and move by your power divine. Bless this session. Bless every one of our hearers and listeners that will listen to this lesson. We ask, oh God, that you will bless them, revelate, oh God, give them illumination and understanding, even more so about the provision that you have provided so graciously unto your people. And Father, we thank you. We take this time to bind the devil and everyone who is emissary from the adversary, and we cast them out and command them to go back to the pit of hell from which they came. And Father, we thank you, and we bind them there. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen and amen. Okay, let's take a look at the scripture on today. It's going to be Mark chapter number 6, verses 35 to verse number 44. And it reads on this line, and when the day was now far spent, his disciple came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. So send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give to them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by the companies upon the grasses, green grass. And they sat down in ranks, and by hundreds, and by fifties. And when they have taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to sit before them. And the 2 fishes divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So far, the reading of that scripture, and our verse that we will look at is verse number 42, where it stated, and they did all eat and were full. Our thought on today and our lesson is about God of provision. Jesus is the provider of our physical, emotional, and spiritual need. He supplies and satisfies every need. Let us take a look at our lesson. You know, there is a clear message and God's desire to teach us throughout his scriptures. And he is the provider. He is both our provider when things are not well and when things are going well. He is our provider always in every circumstances and situation. And a lot of time we relegate Jesus to bring only the God of crisis and not the God of everyday life. And so we must recognize that he is the God of everyday life. He is our provider, and that he not only through that, through his incarnation, he revealed his compassion for all of us in all things, and to let us know that we can call on him and receive divine assistance in every circumstances of our lives. Now, let's look at that. Who would not want divine assistance in every aspect of our lives? And so I challenge you and I encourage you on today, in every circumstances, every situation, invite God in for divine assistance to enable you, to undergird you, and to fortify you in every circumstances and situation. Now, many accounts in the scripture show that Jesus is both the provider in time of crisis and the provider in day-to-day life. Now, Jesus' disciples, they expressed their concern for the people that he had been teaching all day. The people had been without food and probably was growing faint. The disciples, therefore, urged him to send them away that they could eat. But Jesus commanded his disciples to feed them. And the disciples questioned, but where is the, in this desert place, are we going to get enough food for this many people? And Jesus answered them, how much bread do you have? Five loaves. And they responded, plus two fishes. At that, Jesus decreed and directed the people to sit down, and he took the loaves and the fish and gave thanks and divided it up and gave it to the people. Now, everyone ate in all they had wanted, and they were food even left over. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. After feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, Jesus recognized that this crisis situation needed his attention. He would not let the people go away hungry. And without food for strength, many of the people would not be able to traverse the rough terrains and arrive safely at their homes, which was many miles away. So Jesus solved the crisis situation through divine provision. He truly is the God of crisis, but not only is he the God of crisis, but he's concerned about our every need. He is concerned with providing both our extreme necessities as well as our daily need. Now, we can find that over in the scripture where the scriptures say, give us this day our daily bread. Don't you know that Jesus is desiring to provide his people, his children, with their daily bread, daily substance, daily welfare, whatever you have need of, there is a divine assistance that God wants to assist and provide for you. Yes, now let's look at what Jesus taught. Over in Mark chapter number 6 and verse 34, Jesus, the scripture states that Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were asleep and had not a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Let's look at the Lord's compassion. We are called to teach the lost and the dying people of this world and wonder the wonderful truth of the new birth and the life, new life Jesus provides. This responsibility is not just for the preacher or the educated among us, but for every one of God's chosen and faithful people. However, before we can really feed them with the word, we need to have compassion for them as well. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus provided us with a wonderful example of compassion. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. We need to follow his example and go forth among the lost and see their condition and minister to them from a burden of love and compassion. We cannot express divine compassion to all people if we remain only in our furnished living room and beautiful sanctuary. We have to follow the divine mandate and go out and find them and compel them to come in, that is, to his house, and may be filled. And so we must constantly witness and constantly share the good news that Jesus saved to the uttermost. And not only will he save, but he will provide. He will make provision. He will bring forth divine assistance to help and to enable his people, no matter where you find yourself at and what lot of life have dealt you, God, he's still able, through his wonderful son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to make provision for his people. Now let's look at the multitude without a shepherd. Number one, the need of a shepherd. People are like sheep who need someone to lead them. Without a leader, the sheep wander aimlessly and become lost or fall prey to their natural enemies. It is true that the people also need a leader, someone to guide them and show them the way to eternal life. Moreover, the child of God need to become leaders in their own community so that they may lead their friends and neighbors to the Savior. Number two, the provision of a shepherd. The sheep are fed and watered when the shepherd leads them to a grassy field and water holes, and the sheep do not leave the shepherd. It is the provision of the shepherd that keeps the sheep alive. So it is the people today need the Lord to be their shepherd and to lead them in the way of life. Now, number three, the protection and direction of the shepherd. The shepherd, not the sheep, drives the wolves away and guides the sheep to safe pastures. In a similar sense, God protects his great church by placing pastors in the midst to drive the enemy away and care for the souls of the people and leading them after Christ Jesus. Now, let's look further. Jesus also taught the people. Now, let's look at the importance of teaching. The Pentecostals are truly and surely blessed by great preaching week after week. We spend much time listening to preaching, and we love to hear great messages from God's word. But much of the work of God is done through teaching. When the Bible teachers or pastor open the word of God and teach, the people are fed. Well-fed people grow spiritually and reproduce after their kind and influence others also to follow Christ. Number two, the green pastures of the word. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And we'll find that over in Psalms 23, verses number 2 and verse number 3. Every good shepherd know how to locate the best pastures for their sheep, the best place to feed and find food. Likewise, the pastors understand how vital the word of God is to the people they lead. Every word of the Lord is sufficient to feed the people, provide direction, give counsel, and solve the problem mankind faces. There is no substitute for the Bible in preaching and teaching. It is vital. Now, there are the earnestness of the listener. We should not overlook one vital aspect of this scenario. The listener needs to be eager to hear, to learn, and to apply the teaching of God's word. A full person cannot be fed, neither can a disinterested person can be challenged, edified, or uplifted. The church needs eager listeners, or those ready to be fed, those open to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. Jesus is looking for people who hunger to hear his word and obey it, and not only obey it, but also that loves the wonderful, blessed word of God. Now, let's look here, because Jesus do have a plan. Let's look further. It said, and when the day was now far spent, his disciple came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages, and that they buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said to them, give them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, this was the situation that did not catch Jesus off guard. We should have a confident hope in our God and who knows what circumstances we may face and exactly what we need. He knows, he cares, and he has a plan for our life. Now, let's take a look at that and contextualize that for the implication of our lives today. We must recognize that there is nothing in our lives that is going to catch God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ off balance or off guard. He already knows every one of our situation, and we as the children of God should have the blessed confidence and hope in the fact that God already knew the circumstances. So what we have to do is put up before us in our mind and spirit the fact or the thought that God knew about the circumstances. And so when we begin to look at our circumstances and our situation, we must first tell ourselves, God knew this was going to happen to me before this thing happened or took place. And I can rest in the hope and in confidence that even in this situation, God have a plan for me, and now I need to seek out God for that plan. That nothing has been taken over, going to overtake God. It's not going to be unaware, but he knows what is going on even right now. Now, let's take a look at this desert place. Now, most people at some time in our lives have experienced difficult times. Perhaps it was a struggle with illness or even disease. Possibly it was a time of want for a basic necessity even of life. In times when there are no groceries, no money, no way, no answer, no help, no hope, no one, even heaven sometimes seems very far away than it is normally. Yet in our desert places of our life, the Lord of provision stands ready to help us in spite of the circumstances and situation. Now, in the lesson text of Mark, Jesus purposely led the multitude into a desert place to teach them. He was not lost, confused by the terrain, or controlled by the outside influences beyond his power. Jesus was in complete control, and it was his sovereign will to lead the people to this desert place of a waste and little provision. Now, the Lord of heaven and earth delights to meet us in our places and situation of need. No place is too far away from his provision or presence to reach us. No need is so great that he cannot meet that need. No desert is so bleak that he will not provide for us in the midst of it. Jesus had a plan to feed the multitude in the desert, and he have a plan now to meet our every need if we will only trust him and come to him and obey him. Sometimes we come to a limit of our own forbearance. Someone called it the end of our rope before calling on Jesus for help. He who holds the stars in the place can surely help us. We must believe and trust in his assistance, for he will not fail us. Hebrews 13 and 5 said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Further, in whatever desert place or need or desperate situation we are in, he is always there, and he will help us if we will believe and allow him to work on our behalf. Now, let's stop right there. Again, another point of contextualization. We must recognize that no matter what circumstances or situation we are in, as I stressed earlier, we must recognize that it may look desperate, it may seem like a desperate and a desert situation. We must trust and believe that he is there to assist us and to help us, to enable, undergird, fortify, be our strong tower, be our rock, be our blessed assurance in whatever circumstances we may see. Because guess what? We are living in times of great transition. We're living in time where changes are taking place rapidly, and circumstances and situations, living situations, circumstances. But the God in which we serve, he knew this season, he knew this day, he knew this year that we will find ourselves in whatever circumstances we in, we can still trust that nothing is going to overtake our God, and he still yet is in control of our circumstance. Now, let's take a look. No provision. Now, the multitude had nothing to eat. They had no provision. But Jesus provided for their human needs through divine means. And such as it is now, Jesus will still take care of our human needs through divine means. He will divinely make sure that we have every need met. Let's further look. When we begin to recognize that God's church has the greatest of all provider, which is Jesus, and through his Holy Spirit, he is working on our behalf. And the greatest of all counsel is God's word. If we would do our best to provide those two things to our world, we will give them the best there is to offer, and Jesus will provide for their need. First, give them Jesus, who is the provider of all things. Then give them the counsel of the word of God. The word of God is already tried and true and will sustain. The word of God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is who it is, Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Now, the trying circumstances. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracle which he did on them that was diseased. Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that we may eat? And this said he to prove him, for he himself knew that he would do it. Now, let's look further. That's found over in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. It has been said that the rubber band is only good when it is stretched. What good are muscles that are not used? What good are resources that are not being spent? What good is faith that is not tried? The scripture teaches that tried or tested faith is precious faith. 1 Peter 1 and 7. That the trial of your faith bring much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. And so when you find yourself being tried, your faith being tried, it is going to be much more precious as it being tried with fire, because it's going to be found with praise, it's going to be found with honor, and it's going to be found with glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't see it all even right now, there is going to be a set time and a set purpose when your precious faith is going to bring forth praise, honor, and glory unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So don't get weary in well-doing, but hold fast and say, I'm going to judge you faithful in spite of what I feel, in spite of what I see, in spite of what I smell, in spite of what the circumstances may seem or bring about. I choose to trust you, God. That's what Sarah said. I judge you faithful. She talked about the faithfulness of God. And that's what, when we find ourselves in circumstances and situations that is beyond our control, what we need to do is begin to speak to our circumstances and let your circumstances know, I'm going to trust God. No matter what I see, God's going to bring us out. No matter what I feel, God's going to bless my family, going to bless my children. He's going to bless my children's children, going to bless my husband. He's going to bless my future. My future's already blessed. I'm just going to step in it and step to it and step to receive it by faith and declare and decree that it's going to manifest. God's plan will manifest. God's provision will manifest. God's assistance will manifest. God's love will manifest. God's mercy and his tender loving kindness will be manifested in the circumstances and in the situation. Oh, child of God, speak to it and watch God perform it. Speak to it and watch God open the door. Speak to it and watch God make a way out of no way. Oh, child of God, he's in control of every one of our circumstances and every one of our situations. Just release him by speaking to it. Release the power of God. Release the anointing of God. Release the provision of God. Release the blessed word of God, because he said, I watch over my word to perform it. Oh, child of God, he's going to perform it on your behalf. Now, Mark 6 teaches that Jesus allows and even sends circumstances beyond our control into our life to try our faith and to develop more faith even in us. If trials increase our faith, they are actually our friends and not our enemies. Because many times we can interpret our trials as our enemies or being overthrown. But no, God is just using your trial and your circumstances to increase your faith so that you can trust him beyond measure and beyond circumstances and situations and the vicissitudes of life. Now, let's look further. The need of food allowed God to perform a miracle and cause faith to ignite in the multitude. The need to feed the people caused the disciple faith to increase, because what they could provide on their own was insufficient. It took the hand of the master to supply the need. And many times in our circumstances and situation, it's going to take the hand of God to turn things around. It's going to take the hand of God to work things out. But I come to tell you on today, child of God, release your faith and trust God to turn every circumstances and every situation that you're facing in your life around. He is going to do it. He wants to do it. It's his good pleasure to do it. He just wants to know, will you believe that he will do it? Now, let's look further. When we look at Mark chapter 6, verse 38 to 42, it says, and Jesus, and he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And go and see. And when they knew that, they said, five and two fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in the ranks by hundreds and by 50. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he took up to heaven and blessed. And he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set down before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. Now, let's look at this small offering. In the hand of the lad, his lunch would have only fed one. In the hand of Jesus, the little boy's lunch fed 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, what appears to mankind as small and insufficient is the raw materials for a miracle of God. Some people have said that if they had inherited $1 million, they would give a large amount to put it in church. Yet if they are faithful, not faithful with the small amount of money that the Lord has entrusted them to with, why would he entrust them with even more? No offering is too small when it is given to Jesus with faith and obedience. If we are faithful in little things, the Lord will reward us with greater responsibility. Too often in this story, we overlook the faithfulness of the mother to prepare a lunch to send with her boy. Because she was faithful to do what she could, God had the seedling of a miracle. When we need a miracle maker in our midst today, people who are in everyday faithful performance of duty provide the means whereby God can perform a miracle. And so many times we sometimes look outside of ourselves for God to perform the miracle, but God said, I'll use what you got. I'll use your not enough to make just enough and make even more than enough that all would know that it was by the hand of God that God performed the miracle in that situation because we dare to put our trust and we dare to put our confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I commend you and I encourage you, continue to trust him and continue to put your trust and confidence in him, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what the paper's saying, no matter what the report may state and say that it was going to happen. You trust God against all odds and watch God bring it out. It's your faith and your obedience, your trust, and your believing that you can supply God with to perform a miracle. And so, child of God, you're on the verge of one. All you need to do is release your faith, release your trust, and your obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch him perform that miracle. Now, let's look at the divine order. Luke 12, verses number 48 says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given, of him much will be required. And to whom when men have committed much, of him they will ask much. Now, Jesus did not commission angels to preach the saving gospel, which he could have. Moreover, Jesus did not intend it physically to live on earth forever to fill mankind's great need. He left these tasks to us. In Mark 6, Jesus did not hand the food directly to the multitude. He gave it to his disciple, and they in turn gave it to the people. In similar senses, we are blessed as children of God, and we are to be good and faithful stewards of his blessings and his provision. Now, to whom much is given, much is required. We have been abundantly blessed, and it is our responsibility to bless others by what we have received. God is looking for a channel through which he can provide his blessing. And when we find someone willing, when he finds someone willing, he first will provide for that person to have the first fruit of what he has given them, and then they can give to others. If we grasp what we have been given with an iron grip, we will lose what we have. But if we freely give, we will really freely receive more and more because we become a channel in which God can use to bless others. Yes, you are the partaker of that first fruit and thing. Yes, you, and then give out and bless others. Let's look at this. Satisfying provision. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for after righteousness, they shall be filled. James 4, verses number 2 and 3 say, ye lust and ye have not. Ye killed and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now, if we asking to be a blessing, that we can be a blessing to others, God is going to freely give. But if we blessing just for ourselves and asking just for ourselves, then that's where the lack will come. He said, you will receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now, the two important lessons can be learned from this narrative. Mankind can find satisfaction and fulfillment only when he looks to Jesus. Or she looks to Jesus. Number two, we often waste our time in asking and seeking for things that will not satisfy and are not in line with God's will and purpose for us. We need to pray and seek the Lord to find his divine will for our lives. In his provision, we will find rest. In his provision, we will find comfort. In his provision, we will find satisfaction. Now let's look at another aspect. Jesus is broken for the world. The scriptures say in Mark 43 and 46, chapter 6, verse 43 and 44 say, and they looked up and took up the 12 baskets full of the fragment and of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves and were about 5,000 men. Now, let's look here. The fragments that remain. We do not know what happened to the leftover fragment. However, we can be sure that they were not wasted. There is no room in God's economy for wasting divine provision. We must thankfully receive and thankfully use and thankfully speak of the blessing and provision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave us his all for us. Let's look at Jesus, the bread of life. At Calvary's cross, Jesus shed his precious blood and allowed his body to be broken. Since God uses broken things, he allowed himself to be beaten and broken in order to be our healer. He died for our sins in order to be our Savior. He ramshacked hell in order to be our deliverer. He paid the ultimate price to satisfy our portion. Jesus, not only that, but the satisfying portion. Our one writer put it this way, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can change your heart and make you whole. He will give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Jesus always satisfies. Though many people in this world are looking for a quick fix to their problem, only Jesus and his saving gospel can give true satisfaction. As another writer, songwriter said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Finally, Jesus gave his life for the world. Revelation 22 and 17 states, and the Spirit and the bride said, come, let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is a thirst, come, and whosoever will, I will take the water of life freely. All have received the invitation. This blessing is open to everyone. All may come and drink from the refreshing wells of salvation. Jesus made it possible by his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And so, child of God, on my conclusion on today, on this wonderful and glorious lesson about the provisions of our Lord, must recognize that even the world as it is in a dire strait, no man could provide the needed remedy. Only God looked down from heaven and was moved with compassion. He robed himself in human flesh and came to earth to become the bread of life. His body was broken, and now his provision feeds the needs of all mankind. He gave us his all so that our needs would be met and his righteousness satisfied. Through his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus made a way for all to come to him and be saved. Today, Jesus is the only one that satisfies the portion for our spiritual need of man. Jesus gave his life for the world. He need to give, and we need to give our lives as his body for our own generation, as we give ourselves back to him. We need to give what little we have and I place it in his divine hand and let him feed the multitude even today. Jesus is able to supply any needs we have. He is the way, he is the truth, and the life. He is love. He is the only Savior. We need to come to him anew today, and this is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so, child of God, I come to tell you, today Jesus wants to do it in and through our lives as never before. He is the one that will make a way out of no way. He is the one that opened doors that no man can open. And he's the one, that same one, that will close doors that no man can close. He's just waiting to provide us with that divine assistance, divine provision, and the divine means of opening doors on behalf of his children. So I say unto you, child of God, on today, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what life has dealt you, what type of blow, or whatever the vicissitudes of life, or where you find yourself at on today, continue to provide our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with faith, with your ability to believe him, trust him, and your obedience, and watch God work a miracle right in the middle of your faith being tried, he will and shall do it on your behalf. Look again. Go back. The God of provision will supply all of your needs and make a way out of no ways. Just trust him and believe him and never doubt, and watch him bring you out with a mighty outstretched hand and a mighty testimony of his goodness. Even in the trying of your faith is working patience and is working in your faith all for your good. So don't allow any circumstances to overthrow you in your faith. Keep trusting that he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. It's going to take the word of God and the mighty hand of God to see his people through every circumstances and situation that you may find yourself in. Continue to read your word. Continue to put your trust and confidence in the mighty power of God. Continue to be led in and through and by that Holy Spirit, and watch God do a great and mighty work in and through your life. And so on my closing, I want to pray with you and be in agreement with you for whatever provision, whatever you have need of, the God of glory will provide your need. Let us touch and agree, as I agree with you in provision and prayer, and that God will meet every need. Father, we come. We take this time to bind the devil. We bind the forces of darkness, every doctrine of the devil, every subduing spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare and decree, God, right now, the manifestation of your provision in the life of your people. I declare and decree right now that the angels of the Lord that will go out and minister to your people, guide and protect them, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we declare and decree that your righteous will be done, that you will meet every need, bring home that backslider, turn that heart of that son back to you, God, turn that daughter's heart back to you, and oh God, come back into harmony with their mothers and their father. Father, provide the provision on their tables and make a way out of no way. Undergird them and fortify them, oh God. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. We know that you're able to do all things but fail, and he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And Father, Lord, this is our prayer in the blessed and the wonderful name of Jesus, that you would do it on your behalf of your people. And we will praise your blessed name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So be it. And we claim it done, every provision. And remember, child of God, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 27:7, I declare it to be so and manifest it in the life of his people on this day. And forevermore, I declare it has already been established, and we say yea and amen. Watch God perform that miracle on your behalf, because you're going to provide them with your faith and provide them with your trust and your obedience, and watch God do it in and through your life. And so, child of God, until we meet again, I pray that the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. And so until we meet again, may God richly bless you. Until we see you again and hear from you again, God bless you, is our prayer. Bye-bye.